thought it was time for another tape, seeing as how I had something to tell. My finger's nearly healed up now. They took the stitches out here the other day. That didn't hurt either, except there's a little scab over the stitches. Big news here is, good old Lane Army Airport's been here for 2.5 years now, never been hit before. Well, the other night, son of a gun, it was here about 10 o'clock and just getting in that bed, and there was just two loud concussions outside. I never heard a mortar before, but there's no mistaking the sounds. I just whipped open that locker, jumped in a pair of pants, grabbed out my rifle, and I was rummaging all through my locker because I knew I had a bandolier of ammunition in there. I didn't want to take all this web gear and garbage down there. And I took outside for the bunker. Our building here kind of, we regrouped back there. And everybody got out there okay. We took a look around and it seemed like there's just those two mortar rounds. But there's a lot of firing going on by the perimeter, so everybody knew what it was supposed to be doing. So we all just took off, ran back in the building, grabbed my shirt, helmet, put on a pair of moccasins. I didn't want to sit around and waste time lacing boots. Took off for running with everybody. Ran down the line. As I came around down by the tool room, that's the first thing on the line. It was just, oh, I just never forget that sight the rest of the time I ever live. There was 3-4 big illumination flares over our perimeter. And there was a red flare up, meaning that there's a ground attack in progress. And there was just firing to beat the band out there. Tracers going. So I said, man, this looks bad here. I took off for my shop, because that's where I'm supposed to be. My shop's, well, quite a distance from the perimeter. It's within rifle shot, but not an accurate rifle shot. So I just get my head down and open up the door. I sit behind my barrel, and everything came true, just like I thought it was. First thing, guys come running up. Where's the ammunition? I tell them, I just don't carry ammunition in my shop. It's against Army regulations. I had a couple hundred rounds of machine gun ammo I've scrounged up on the side, but that's about it. I gave it to them. Told them that was it. I had guys stop by all night looking for ammunition. Told them I didn't have any. So I grabbed out all my 16 ammo, all my clips. I have about 30-some clips down in my shop, and I just sat there. Nobody come by for any machine guns, probably because there wasn't any ammo to shoot in them. And this went on for a while. I was sitting outside. I have this sand barrel right in front of my shop. And I just sit there listening, trying to figure out, you know, just how bad things are going down there. I was real calm through this whole thing. I thought it was pretty exciting. And, there's no gunships up right away. That's the clue. If things are bad, I mean, we've got a whole gunship company here, but there's no gunships up. And, there weren't any more mortars, and Charlie will always mortar a place flat before he'll try and overrun it. So unless it means they're not trying to make pretty much, they weren't going to make any determined effort to get in through the wire. And almost the huge majority was being shot, firing was being done by these Koreans. And Koreans, well, they'll shoot at anything that's out there. I mean, regardless, if the only thing that's out there, well, they just shoot a place full of lead. Our guys were hardly doing any firing, so I figured, well, couldn't be too bad. After a while, it all simmered down, told us we could go back to the barracks. That looked like it was going to be it for the night. And I found out none of the 60s been fired and didn't have the ammunition, and only a couple guys ever shot their 16s because they just couldn't see anybody to shoot at. Most of the attacking force, I guess there couldn't have been only but a couple of Charlies out there. They were attacking the Korean part of the perimeter. I looked at my watch. It had been an hour and 15 minutes since that first mortar went off, and by God, fastest hour of my life. I just couldn't believe that there had been an hour and 15 minutes passed already since that first drone landed. The next day, I finally found out what was all happening down there. Koreans had run into a Korean patrol, got ambushed out there. They called for support, and then these Charlies decided they'd make a sapper attack on the place. It's just a kind of a prober attack. What I hope now is we impressed them enough with our response that they won't try this sort of junk again, because, well, you know, we GIs, we grumble a lot, grumble all the way down the line that we got to fight, give up our sleep, grumble all the way back because there's nothing to shoot at, grumble, grumble, grumble. However, this new CO we got, this guy is really terrific. I mean, he's really on the ball. Next day we had ammunition. The town got 2½ deuces full of ammunition. And every bunker down on the line now has got a case of 60 ammo and a case of 16 ammo. And we got 2¾ standing by full of ammo every night. The guy's ready to drive it down the line. And now every night we've been having bunker guard out there. We have 2 towers, which is regular guard post, but we have all these supplementary bunkers along the line. And there's 10 of those. So every night now I've been hauling 13 machine guns down the line. We got one of the most heavily armed perimeters in Vietnam. And we have 2 guys in every bunker. So if Charlie tries anything now, we're going to be sitting there waiting for him. He's going to be in for a big surprise. 13 guys with machine guns can bring a lot of smoke out there. It's also demonstrating the effectiveness of my guns of putt-putt, because I do all the hauling of these machine guns to and from the bunkers. And without it, we just hard, because we run a lot of errands every night. Of course, I get stuck cleaning these weapons every morning when they come in. All I do is dust them off, run patches through the barrels, oil them down. There's only been a couple of them fired. Also, this new CO, he came out and he gave us a lecture. The way it is now, if you see anything, well, you have to call into the guardhouse with the field phones and tell them that you've got movement out here and can you fire or not. The only time you can fire outright is if you're being attacked. Danger of overrun. Well, this new CO says if you see anything out there, you fire at it. Because Vietnam, we've got gooks. Gook farmers live the fields. Or we can see them easily from the bunkers. But any gook knows that you stay away from the barbed wire at night. So anything as far as you can see out there, it's free fire. You see it, you shoot it. We had just the other night now, since we've been having this increased bunker guard down there, a couple of gooks drove up with motor scooters, and there was 5 bunkers within sight of them. And everybody just kind of swung the machine guns around, leveled rifles out, ready to nail them. And OD, the regular OD, was down there. And he wouldn't let these guys fire, because he hadn't heard what our CO said. But Koreans have a 50 down there on their part of the perimeter. They saw him, and they just cut loose with that. So I guess they got themselves a couple of gooks. Guy said they couldn't see what happened, because